Hello and welcome to this case study. I'm George from Booming Business, and I'm going to be interviewing a client and now friend of mine called David, who along with his business partner Ramez, own a company called Direct SMS. Now, while these two guys are just great people, they've also found tremendous success in a relatively short amount of time. When I first met them a few years ago, they were new to being in business and were looking for help to grow and scale their company so that they could eventually sell it. At the time, they had just quit their well-paying corporate jobs to chase their dreams, but they ended up working huge hours and the business was barely making any money at all. Fast forward to a little over 4 years later, and they are only working 1 or 2 days a week in their business, and is now doing revenue in the millions with a very healthy profit. They've also just recently accepted a 7-figure offer to sell their business that was too good to turn down. So let's go ahead and jump right in and find out how we did it. Thanks for joining me on this call today, David, and agreeing to do this interview. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Likewise, mate.
Brilliant. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, and we go back quite a while, don't we? I think we first met at a presentation I was doing for one of the big banks. In fact, it was St. George Bank a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that was sort of where we were at a place to sort of, we transitioned away from, you know, the business that was at the time a hobby business or a business we were working on the side, just sort of transitioning to full-time work, and we're very new to the, you know, being an entrepreneur and a business owner. So, yeah, that was a very good introduction, I think, in terms of, you know, what are the sort of key skills to learn and what are the key areas that need work within the business. And, you know, I think that's certainly where we sort of started working together. And, you know, going from there to sort of grow the business.
Yeah, fantastic. It's been quite a journey for you over the years. We've been working together on and off and been keeping in contact during that time. Perhaps to start with, maybe just give us a quick rundown of who you are and what the business does, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So my name is David Andraus. I'm one of the directors of a company called Direct SMS. I sort of look after, you know, sales and operations of the business. Essentially, what we are is an online SMS gateway. It essentially allows businesses to send and or receive SMS. So a lot of the typical uses might be things like, you know, SMS for appointment reminders or SMS for marketing, or if you've got a team out in the field and you need to be able to send out messages to them and have them message you back. As well as, you know, monitoring servers and systems and you know, different sort of applications like that. So whether they do it via the web, you know, via email, or they can integrate it in SMS enable their own software through our API.
Yeah, great. And I've been using your services quite a bit as well. And the automation and the cut through that you can get with SMS is absolutely fantastic. I can't believe more people don't use it as an integrated part of their marketing channels.
Well, we found that, you know, customers that, you know, that do take that on board and implement it correctly, you know, get some pretty staggering results, you know, ROIs that are, you know, 1,000+% on a typical campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. And from my experience, that's exactly what happens too. So today in the case study interview that we're going to do, I'd like to talk about the journey of where you started and where you ended up today. And from my understanding, you've just entered into a deal to sell the business for a pretty substantial sum. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So when we had started this business, my business partner Ramiz and I were both working full-time jobs in IT. And this essentially was something we built in our spare time. And it was sort of, you know, growing, you know, organically over time. And then I think it sort of got to a point in about 2009 where we probably had about 6 months worth of salary for both of us. And it was sort of about that point of, you know, that fork in the road of it's like, it's time to see if, you know, we can make this work. And it was, you know, take that leap of faith and see if you sink or swim. So I think when we, when I first saw that presentation of yours, we'd just started working full time, which was early 2010. And we sort of, you know, we were engineers by education and trade and worked in IT. So we knew how to build the systems, but we knew, you know, next to nothing about marketing or sales or product development or any of these sort of things. So, and I think that's probably where, and probably sales and marketing in particular, especially marketing, I think is where, your expertise has helped us significantly, over that period of time.
And as we get into it, maybe it's worthwhile sharing that you both came out of senior roles in big corporate. Then all of a sudden you found yourself running a business that was growing organically. And while it was growing nicely, it wasn't growing as quickly as you guys wanted. Maybe share some of the challenges you faced in those early days, and then we can continue down the road from there.
Yeah, look, I think it was, I think it was the old situation of, you don't know what you don't know. And I think for us, a lot of it was sort of working out what were the missing pieces and then how to implement those correctly. So we sort of partnered up with, various subject matter experts like yourself and like, other, there was another online marketing company that we used to help, redo our website and help us with our online marketing from an AdWords point of view and SEO and all that sort of thing. And it was sort of, it was a bit of a learning journey. So it really went from, going from being in an industry and with a knowledge base that you knew really, really well to sort of stepping out of your comfort zone and really, needing to, embark on some really rapid learning curves in some very, very different areas and sort of being, a jack of all trades in some respects. To sort of develop the other sort of entrepreneurial skills that you need outside of what you brought from your previous career or job. So I think a lot of that was sort of the bit of a challenge, but we sort of were able to recognize very early on that where we needed help was in, especially in marketing as well as sales. And we certainly we working with yourself and other people to sort of develop that and to sort of find what that formula is, what's from a marketing point of view, what was effective, what wasn't, being testing and measuring things. So I think one of the first things we did was, well, we don't know how we're progressing if we don't know where we are at the moment. So we sort of set up a bunch of metrics, some sort of like dashboard that we sort of monitored on a daily basis that gave us at least some benchmark information. And then we certainly, use that as one of the yardsticks to sort of measure progress over time. And then it was, just a process of sort of, learning the various skills and trying out different things and finding what worked and then sort of building a sales funnel around that, leads right to a conversion right now from someone trialing our service to a paying customer of a 30% conversion rate.
That's brilliant. Let's talk a little bit about that for a second. When we first started working together, the big challenge I remember for you guys was tracking new customers and then getting your existing customers to either jump onto some kind of subscription-based model to get recurring revenue or even just getting them to come back and buy more over time. What impact did that have on the business back then?
Well, I think back then we just sort of, didn't really understand, what the typical customer experience was or what would be useful to them or how we could add value. So a lot of the time they would, do a Google search, find us, maybe register for a free trial, and then they'd sort of get the initial welcome email, but then there really wasn't a whole lot of interaction from that point on with us unless they sort of got in touch with us. So I think a part of that sort of marketing and part of the sales funnel was to have some automated marketing around, like them receiving a series content relevant or relevant content specific to what they're going to be using the service for, as well as then, giving them a follow-up call and welcoming them to the business and sort of giving them, helping them with that ramp-on process.
Hey, on that note, as you're talking about the customer experience and onboarding process, do you remember what the conversion rate was in those early days? From memory, it definitely wasn't anywhere near the 30% that it is today.
No, look, I would probably guess it probably was around the 10% mark at the time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember as well. And if we think back, this was one of the main problems in the business, low conversion rates. And even though only about 10% were converting at the time, most were only buying small amounts of SMS credits, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so what we did was look at some marketing strategies to engage bigger and better clients. And as you just mentioned, we built some automation sequences to really engage people all the way through, from the first point of contact to getting them warmed up nurtured, keen, and excited to buy from you. Literally, we sat down and worked out all the steps involved and then exactly what we were going to say at each point of contact in the sales process to get people from being a cold prospect to a buying customer. Then we systemized the whole communication process so it happened automatically. An email would go out, an SMS would be sent out, a phone call would be triggered at certain points, and a big part of that now meant that your conversion rate increased from 10% to 30%. So there was a three times increase in your conversion rate.
Sure, that's exactly right. So I think you're exactly right. So I think part of it was we wanted to shift away from sort of business to consumer and really focus on business to business, because when we did the analysis on our existing customers, that certainly was where the revenue and the better conversion was coming from. So I think we certainly, you know, made it, you know, so that we were sort of, you know, business friendly and targeted at helping Australian businesses. And then you're exactly right, you know, then sort of, you know, interacting and giving them, you know, sort of value added content that would sort of help them. So for example, if they were going to be sending appointment reminders, then hey, you know, why don't we send them some information on how they can actually go and set that up for themselves? It was giving them sort of the appropriate content to be able to then, you know, get up and running and so they can then get value out of the service as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's such an important point, and one I find is a pretty common theme across most businesses that I've seen. They tend to treat their customer base as one large, undefined or ill-defined consumer, rather than chunking that down and saying, my consumers are actually not one big unified bunch of people. There are different people with different needs, and if you can do this and define your potential customers into specific groups, you can then send them customized communications that are tailored to the specific needs of that particular group, thereby being much, much more relevant and therefore more effective in your marketing efforts. And that's what we were able to do with you, and I think it's one of the main reasons your conversion rate increased and jumped up as much as it did.
Yeah, I think. Look, and this is something I've sort of constantly kept learning over time as I've had other people starting their businesses and asking me for advice, is that, you know, it's you really need to understand your customer in terms of, you know, who they are, what sort of problems they're facing and that they're trying to solve, as well as, you know, talk to them in a language they understand. So, you know, in our situation, I think once we were sort of able to narrow it down, I think for us being a sort of a generic type of service, it really came, the way we sort of broke it down that made sense was from an application point of view, where they're using it for appointment reminders, where they're using it for marketing, where they're using it for managing field staff. And then, you know, regardless of whether it was you know, field staff, say, for a construction company or a courier company, we found when we looked at it from an application point of view that the problems were similar and hence the solutions were similar and as equally as relevant. So I think when you can sort of really understand your customer and sort of talk to them in the way of being able to solve their problem, right, because usually it's sort of a bit of a carrot and a stick. People sort of want to move away from pain and towards pleasure, and it's sort of, if you can help them solve their problem, that will also then help them add value to what they do, whether it's save time, save money, or both, or make more money, then you're sort of, you know, killing two birds with one stone. And I think one example I can think of, a friend of mine who's starting a psychology practice, and he was doing some marketing, and he was like, he just wanted to go and advertise on radio without really understanding his customer base. And he was saying, oh, I can go and advertise on AM radio. But then once I dug deeper, it was like, well, your demographic, you know, women between the ages of 30 to 40. Well, I don't really know too many, you know, women of that age group that listen to AM radio. It's usually baby boomers that listen to AM radio. But because he didn't really understand his customer base, he didn't quite understand at the time until I pointed that out to him that was probably not the right medium in which to advertise on.
What a great point. I find that a lot as well, where people often jump to tactics first. They'll see something that worked for somebody else, or they did something in a different context, such as the radio. I have a friend of mine who's doing breakfast meetups with accountants for his financial services business. He was really stressed out and banging his head against a wall because these accountants would come and have breakfast and then they'll just leave. They wouldn't engage with him afterwards. And he was wondering why that wasn't working in this business when it worked so well for him in a different business. And I think the point you just made is absolutely critical. You need a strategy behind what you're doing. You need to understand it first. Your tactics need to fit into a bigger picture, a process, a strategy that's driving towards a predefined outcome.
Exactly. I think something you sort of can't emphasize enough is really, you know, spending the time to really understand your customers. And, you know, if it means you've got to go and ring your existing customers or questionnaires or you know, you really, really need to understand. The better you understand your customers, the better you're able to give them what they need and hence have them as a happy customer that'll be around for you know, a long time. So, I see it too in other people that have approached me, and even with some of our existing customers when they're trying to do marketing with their customers, you know, and you can see that they haven't really given a lot of thought as to who their target market is and what's going to be the most relevant approach for them.
Bingo. It's largely doing activity for the sake of doing activity, whereas strategic activity coupled with and driving your tactical activity is what's going to actually make the difference at the end of the day.
Right, that's exactly right. And especially if you want to, you know, be able to get a good ROI where you're not spending a ton of money on advertising to yield, you know, zero or very little results, then you obviously do need that type of strategy and understanding of who you're targeting and why.
Definitely. A great and clear strategy is key to getting a great return on investment and even more important, getting consistent growth. I know that at the time we were working together, you guys were achieving pretty much 100% growth year on year. Has that trend continued?
I mean, obviously, as you know, the numbers have gone up. I think if I was to extrapolate it out from revenue from when we first started to where revenue is today, it's now slightly over tenfold.
And we're talking of a 3 to 4 year time frame where this happened, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of, once you sort of understand a few concepts around, you know, how do you market effectively, how do you scale your business through systems, and a few other bits and pieces, you can then really leverage your business without a whole lot of extra effort on your part.
That's such a great point. Something you mentioned there, David, was scale. Quite often in business, you can do a brilliant strategy and you might get lucky. You might even 10x your business. Doesn't mean it's sustainable. If you're not careful and you don't think two or three steps ahead, it can actually be a recipe for disaster. Usually it takes a few years like it has with you to put a tenfold on it. I'm sure in your case now, putting those systems in place so that it scales properly, you've got the right model and everything is replicatable because of the systems you were mentioning. I'm sure it's much more sustainable now as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at our revenue chart or our monthly volumes chart, it's you know, outside of sort of seasonal adjustments around Christmas and Easter, it's pretty much almost a straight line in terms of it just going up on a nice steady gradient. So, and I think a lot of that is just, you know, building systems and then just constantly, refining those over time. It's the old, I think, Japanese principle of Kaizen, which is constant and never-ending improvement. So we've always sort of, systems was our strength given our IT background. So we'd certainly put, you know, those sort of systems in place and then just sort of worked out over time how we can just keep further optimizing those systems.
Definitely. And I find systems is an often misunderstood area of business. From your perspective, when you talk about developing systems, what specifically are you talking about? Are you talking about the step-by-step flowcharts? Are you talking about software to automate things? What is it?
Well, look, I think a lot of that from our end is going to be what constitutes our sales funnel. So a lot of that is our automated marketing. A lot of it is also then within our SMS platform. How can we remove barriers to entry? How can we give people the help they need without necessarily having to pick up the phone? So, things we developed were things like tutorial videos on the website that went for no more than 2 minutes long, and it explained to them step by step exactly what they needed to do. Because, I sort of got tired of constantly having to explain it to customers over and over again, that I thought, why not just record some videos and then have them on the website and certainly include them in a part of that automated marketing to say, well, here's a video you can watch. And then, once you sort of build a video, a sort of instructional video, you only do the work once, and then it sort of serves, as many customers as need be over time.
Yeah, and I'm sure you had places where you set up those videos because 80 to 90% of customers were asking you the same questions or they needed that same information.
Exactly.
So rather than you spending all this time answering those questions, why not just do a video? And yours are really good, by the way. I've had a good watch of them. You've done really well. How much time would you say that saved you?
Oh, God knows. I know it took me about 2 weeks to put all those videos together. And I'd say I was probably getting probably about half a day a week of those type of questions, at least. Probably half a day to a day a week. So, you add that up over 4 years, that's quite a long time. So I think it's those sort of efficiencies, where you can and optimizations over time that you keep tweaking to sort of keep getting the consistent growth over time.
Yeah, big time. And I've got a new concept you're probably not or haven't heard this one. It's one I put together fairly recently called the implementation triangle, which is exactly what we're talking about right now. I created it because I saw people trying to do too many things at once, and therefore nothing they ever did got any real traction or results. Anyways, the first step in the implementation triangle is a step called optimization. And basically, if you're going to put a new initiative in place, before you go and move on from it, you need to sit down and optimize it, which is just what we're talking about doing. The test, the measure, tweak it, see that it's working, tweak it some more to maybe make it even better, and then build a system around it. In your case, that was the sales video and the sales funnel, so that everybody has the same experience with the same steps, and that became automated. Once that was all freed up for you, you could then go away and work on the next thing, knowing that what you had just worked on was working, implemented, and getting great results.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way, I guess another sort of context to that same thing is if you can systemize some of the, I guess if you had to sort of quantify a dollar per hour rate for the various tasks in your business, and if you can systemize, and whether it's outsourcing or managing, or it's just something that's completely systemized, a lot of the lower dollar per hour tasks, then you can go and focus on the more higher dollar per hour tasks. And it's
absolutely,
and that sort of, I think allows you to sort of leverage yourself a lot more to then, get, exponential results over time.
Yeah, and I've got another saying that's relevant here. You're going to love this one too. The saying I've got around this is you have to spend your time, or actually you have to invest your time being the head of your business, i.e. be the brains. Get off being the hands. The hands are the doing work, which is unproductive work in the scheme of growth and scale. Be the head, not the hands.
Yeah, and I think look, for a lot of people, that's something that's hard to let go, but if they can put the right systems in place and then work, make that shift where they can let that go and have that properly managed and systemized, then it can really free you up to sort of take your business to the next level.
Yeah, and I remember it was a bit of a pain for both you and Ramez to do that when you were going through this process. How did you guys overcome it?
Well, I think we sort of broke that down into sort of various roles, responsibilities, and everything else. And we worked out, I was sort of the view, well, let's bring someone in to sort of do a lot of these lower dollar per hour tasks. But my concern was sort of quality control and making sure that things are going to be done properly. So what we did was we put, procedures and, procedures together, step-by-step guides with exactly what they needed to do, as well as with, I then recorded a bunch of, sort of induction videos and tutorial videos, so that once that was done, we could then bring in a VA, and 80% of the training was in those videos and procedures. And then in terms of, getting them up to speed, And then obviously you're sort of overseeing them for the first couple of weeks until they know what they're doing. And that also then gives you some feedback as to how effective, you know, your system is. And then, you know, as well as then if that person leaves and then someone else comes on board, then instead of having to, you know, spend all that time training them, you've got this system that brings them up to speed and a system that you know, manages their activities. And by sort of doing that, because I think I was sort of bogged down with a lot of the operation stuff, and I was probably trying to fit, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week into a 40-hour week, and it wasn't until I sort of, you know, put those systems in place and brought someone in that I was then able to bring my time down to 40 hours, but more, you know, higher level tasks of 40 hours and sort of a lower dollar rate I was then able to outsource.
I remember you guys going through that process. In essence, you just sucked it up, didn't you? You just said, it needs to be done. We're going to work harder in the short term, and it's going to free us up in the long term. In fact, I remember the conversation we had in my office vividly, where you were both frustrated and starting to get over how hard it was to make the business work. And by the end of it, you'd made the decision to just get on with it and do it so that things could finally be better.
You're always going to get a bit of that where you sort of, you know, you know what you need to do, and you're still doing your 50, 60 hours a week, but you know you've got to spend that extra 10 hours a week for the next couple of months to set up the system. But then once you do that, you'll find a few months later, you'll be in a much, much better place.
Brilliant, David. And from here, let's see if we can summarize this. There's been some fantastic information that you're sharing. I'm grateful for it, and I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is really grateful as well. Let's see if we can summarize the actual action points of things you've implemented. I know you said that you implemented the sales funnel, and to be clear, that was listing out each step of your sales process and building a system around it so that it worked without you. It became automated.
Yeah. I think that was certainly a very big point, and that was certainly, you know, brought a lot of autonomy as well as upped the conversion rate. So I think that was certainly one. So certainly I think it's, you know, your front end, bringing in, you know, your leads, your different sort of lead generation channels, and then working on that sales funnel to help you convert those leads.
And what that allowed us to do back then was to look at each step and work out which step in the process was converting and which step wasn't, then optimizing that step for peak performance.
Correct. So I think, yeah, in parallel with all of this is we sort of set up our metrics so we could then, you know, monitor it over time. And then when we made changes, we could very quickly work out what was working, what wasn't working. And that's, I think, probably, actually, that should be, you know, step zero. I think until you have a way of, you know, until you have a yardstick, you don't know if anything you're doing is actually improving the business or not. So I would say that's probably the very first thing, you know, you should do in your business. And then I think once we did that, you know, we had the sales funnel, you know, it was, you know, systems in place there, and that was sort of being optimized over time, was then to look at, you know, the back office and operations and working out, because that was the next thing that was sort of taking up a lot of our time, and to then work out how we can systemize and further automate these sort of things. And in this day and age, I mean, there's so many different tools out there that we didn't have access to when we were doing a lot of this stuff. Even if you're not a technical person, I mean, to get yourself an online shopping cart, if that's what you needed for your business, is just, you know, is very, very simple these days, as opposed to back then. But yeah, I think the next step for us was to then, you know, automate or systemize the back end of the business so that, you know, we could then, you know, have other people or systems running that, so we can then take a step back and then focus on, you know, the more higher level tasks in the business and work out how we can get the business to the next level. I think if most businesses can just achieve those two things alone, that they will, you know, grow their business exponentially just implementing those few things.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely awesome. This is some good stuff. To reiterate, we put the sales funnel in place and we automated it when we knew it was working effectively, which tripled your conversion rate. We systemized the repetitive back-end operations, which got you back at least one full day every week. You also mentioned before one of the key things we did was look at your target markets within your customer base. We then tweaked and tailored your marketing communications to be relevant to the needs of each of those. This meant you started attracting the type of customer that was willing, able, and happy to spend more money with you, as well as valuing your services. Then, overarching, you are constantly optimizing everything you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're exactly right. So probably one detail I didn't mention was I think when we first set up the automated marketing, we didn't know enough about our customer, but we thought, let's just get something out there, even if it's generic, because getting some automated marketing, even if it's generic, is better than no marketing. So, but yeah, you're exactly right. The next, once we did that, you call that stage one. Stage two was to go and, be able to narrow it down by application and then give them content specific to the application that they're looking to use SMS for. So, and that's something that sort of evolves over time, is better understanding your customer. So I think that's, again, that's something that I think if you can do that market research early on, that will then feed into your marketing system and, yield you a better result in just because you do understand your customer better.
Yeah, totally. And there's a very relevant and astute saying that goes something like this. If you can define and articulate the problem your customer has better than they can, they will automatically assume that you have the solution that they need.
And that you're the subject matter expert. You know, you're the trusted authority and expert on the particular area.
This is really good stuff. We've got this list of actions now. What do you think has been the overall results for the business? You started as a small business with just you guys working in a part-time. It was growing slowly, but eventually you were working full-time in it. What's been the major outcome after implementing all of these things?
A well-oiled, machine that runs in a very automated fashion that grows, almost automatically over time. For example, we mentioned at the beginning we've sold the business to a bigger competitor in the market. They've given us an offer that was too good to refuse. But what was interesting, he's sort of buying up the competition, and we sort of had a chance to see some of the other and interact with some of the other businesses in the group. And when we compared ourselves to some of our competitors, some of our competitors were probably doing about the same amount of volume, but needed, double to triple the amount of staff that we have, because they didn't have automated systems in various areas of the business. So it sort of gave us that sort of leverage and autonomy to be able to grow the business as big as we have with very few staff members.
And when we say grow the business, we're talking multiple millions now, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a seven-digit revenue these days, whereas I think when we were starting out with you, we were barely doing a six-digit revenue.
That's correct. Back then, like you said earlier, the revenue wasn't even replacing the income that you both had from your corporate jobs.
No, that's right. So we took a pay hit, and and I think it's like any time you sort of make that sort of leap, you've got to sort of make that initial sacrifice until you can get the business off the ground. And these days, we're rewarded quite well, both in salary as well as what we got paid for the business.
Not to mention that while you've accepted an absolutely amazing offer for the sale of the business that was too good to turn down, if we look back through the last 3 years or so, it wasn't the first offer you've had. You've had other very, very decent offers that you've decided to turn down because of the nature of the way the business was heading and growing, correct?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And yes, certainly part of it is that the offer was too good to refuse. But I think the other part too was that we knew that they were going to, look after the business and look after our customers, because, a lot of our customers we've had relationships with, some of them for about a decade. So we certainly wanted to make sure that our customers were going to be, looked after, and that the business wasn't going to be cannibalized or anything like that. So, I think the sweetener was that it was such a great, offer from a financial point of view. But I think that the main thing was that, they were going to look after our customers and help the business and the brand, grow to the next level.
Brilliant. And if you had to summarize everything we talked about from a results point of view, since those early days when we started working together, Your revenue has increased 10 times over. You've had a 300% increase in your conversion rate. We mentioned that systemizing the admin and backend tasks saved you a full day every week. But what we didn't mention is that these days, you and your partner Ramez only have to work in the business 1 or 2 days a week. To put that in perspective, 3 years ago, you were both working ridiculous hours and not even turning over six figures. Now the business is automated and works mostly by itself, and you're doing seven figures with a very good profit margin. And to top it off, you recently accepted an offer that was too good to refuse. And when we start to think of a business that's your size, with your kinds of turnover and profit, you start to get an idea of what that offer must have been like. It's been a complete turnaround.
Let's put it this way. It's a multiple of EBIT that, you know, someone like a public company might get. So we got a really good offer in terms of, you know, most people are offering, you know, I guess it depends on the industry you're in. It might be a 2 or 3 or 4 times EBIT if you're lucky. And we got, you know, more than double that. So we got a really good offer in that regard.
I just want to highlight something here because this is such a good point. When you sell a business, the value and sale price is going to be based on a multiple of your profits, like you said before. And depending on your performance and industry, that multiple will vary. When you're selling a business and you are the business, that multiple is going to be small. Therefore, the valuation is going to be small, and you'll be lucky to get paid just what your wage was for that year. But in a business like yours, where everything is systemized and automated, and everything mostly runs at peak performance, it does need a whole lot of input from you on a day-to-day basis, and it's still very profitable. You're now able to get a significantly higher valuation than you ever could before, because now you're selling an asset. You're selling a business. You're not selling a job, and people will pay a premium for that.
That's exactly right. And you know, the more labor intensive your business is from, you know, you having to run it, the less that multiple is going to be. So if you can build a business, whether it's, you know, systems through IT systems or systems through people, that can run without you and grow without you, the higher that multiple is going to be in the market.
Perfect. Amazing stuff, David. There's been so much insight in this call. Thank you so much. To wrap it up, if you had one piece of advice, one lesson that you've learned over time that you could instill in others, that you think anyone going through what you went through or is even at the beginning of that business growth phase, what would be the main thing you'd tell them to focus on?
Yeah, look, I think one of the key things or the foundation is really constant growth and learning. You know, if you think you're going to get to, I guess the results you've received up to date are based on who you are now as a person. But to get the results that you want, you're going to have to grow and evolve to become the person that you want to be in terms of your success later down the track. So, you know, constant, you know, learning. You know, I mean, I've got, you know, a couple of bookshelves in the office filled with books that I've read over the last, you know, 10 or so years in terms of just developing my skills. So I think that's probably the first thing. I'd say the next thing is test and measure, and don't be afraid to try different tests, you know, different experiments and see what's going to work with your customers. And then probably the final thing I'll say is just never give up. Just be persistent, set your goals for the quarter, do, you know, put in your 110% to achieve those goals and just keep building on top of that. And, you know, definitely, over time, you'll reach, you know, whatever result that you set yourself out to achieve.
That's a good point as well. I know for a fact that over the last few years we've worked together, there's been times where you both were considering whether this was the right thing to do and whether you should actually continue or not. At those times, and with a bit of guidance, you decided to stick it through, and the results are speaking for themselves now. 10 times revenue improvement, 300% increased conversion rate, a business that was manic and draining your cash to a business doing a very healthy and a very profitable seven figures that requires a minimal involvement of your time. And of course, you have achieved your original goal, which was to secure a buyout. And the buyout, in fact, has been double the industry average, which is fantastic, David. I've seen you both, you and Ramez, grow over the years. It's been amazing to see, and just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. I find the best way to learn is to listen to other people, see the journey that they've gone through, the challenges that they've had to overcome, and hear their story. I think it's really going to help out. So thank you once again.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And, to all your, future clients, it's, I'm just a normal person. I don't have any superpowers or anything like that. It's really, making that decision, making that commitment to yourself, and, you can go out and achieve great things.
Brilliant, David. Thank you so much. Let's wrap it up there then. Some great points. Very appreciative. I hope that was valuable for you and you've taken a lot of notes. My wish for you is that you take the lessons that David has learnt over time and apply them for yourself. If you want to know anything further about how I can help or how you can be involved in one of the coaching programs, just get in contact with us through the website and we'll be happy to talk you through how that all works. Until then, I'm George from Booming Business. All the best.